I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
A Monday installment of Grant and Danny. This is not your ordinary Monday. It's game day, baby. Redskins Chiefs Monday Night Football. Can Washington, for the second time in 8 days, shock the NFL? Can they knock off a superior AFC West team in prime time under the bright lights of national television? That is the question. We will spend the day dissecting potential answers. Jerry Brewer, Washington Post columnist, is in Kansas City. He will be on the show at 11. Our Redskins beat reporter, Craig Hoffman, will cover the game for us at Arrowhead Stadium. He will join us today at 1 o'clock. Also, plenty to talk about with the Washington Nationals, including just a few minutes from now when we give you the schedule that was disseminated last night by Major League Baseball. But Danny, I'm feeling good. I woke up energized. I am ready for some Monday Night Football. Been firing off some texts. Here's a crazy update.
Yeah.
This is going to surprise you, Daniel. You know me pretty well.
I do.
We've done this show together since January 6th, 2014.
We're in our 10th month of our fourth year together.
Danny.
Yeah.
I texted a couple of my friends today about coming to my house to watch the game tonight.
What?
Yes, you know me. I love watching games by myself in darkness. I'm thinking about cooking on the grill.
Okay.
I'm thinking about maybe having the fiance make me some EMP-friendly buffalo wings.
Sure, yeah, oh yeah.
And I'm thinking about having a couple of people, friendly faces, that I like in the same room as me while I watch Redskins Chiefs tonight.
Wow. What's the why? Why are you opening up like that?
I don't know. I'm just feeling like fellowship and camaraderie.
You got the optimism face on?
It's not even optimism. I think it's a house money face. I don't think the Redskins beat the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Assuming they do not completely lay an egg tonight, and it's not a Giants Thursday night game of yesteryear, assuming they move the football, they score some points, this is an 8 or 9 point game at the end, I think I'm going to wake up tomorrow feeling okay about this team.
On the spectrum of possibilities for tonight, because we all know that the egg is there. The Monday night football, the world is watching, you're going to play a great team. There's a whole bunch of bad that's possible. Let's all acknowledge that. Even if you're the most optimistic Redskins fan. If you're Dan in Fairfax writing a song right now about how the Redskins are going to go in there and win.
The Redskins.
You'd still have to acknowledge that badness is possible, right? There is almost no scenario. It's easy to say this now without the emotion of tonight's game weighing into it. If they do what, say, Oakland did in Washington last Sunday, right, where they just have no business on the field, look like they can't get a play in, they're 100 yards at the end of the third quarter and it's garbage time and they get blown out. There is nothing that I'd even say. I'd go, yeah, that's one bad game. That I can now do that,
wow.
I feel like.
Really?
Now, again, it's easy without the emotion behind. Then I'll be frustrated if they completely take a step back and look terrible.
I'm going to take the over on that anger, Danny. I think you'll come in tomorrow and you'll be salty and you'll probably be screaming, which is what you typically do after losses. If they play like the Raiders did this past week against the Redskins,
it'll tell me, hey, they weren't quite ready for prime time. They're not as good as we thought they were, et cetera. But because of that Raiders win, and I know people are now trying to say it's not as impressive because Oakland went to Denver and lost to another good football team, by the way, in the form of the Denver Broncos.
In a game where they lost their starting quarterback, Derek Carr, and still lost by one possession when they were driving to try to win late.
Right. So I'm not taking that Oakland win away just yet because it was so dominant. And that's a team, at minimum, that's okay in Oakland. They may not be as good as some people thought, but whatever. Point of the dude's story is this. If you go to Kansas City and lose to the team that right now is the best team in the NFL, look what just finished happening in Week 3. The New England Patriots can't stop a sneeze. They're terrible on defense at this point. Other teams that we thought were excellent, just laying eggs all over the place. It's a weird first 4 weeks of the league. If the Redskins go and lose tonight in Kansas City in a fashion where they get drubbed, they're not in the game, I kind of go, yep, that happened. Let's move on to the next thing, into the bye week, because they've still got a chance here. I think that Week 3 win was so massive because it bought them some kind of get out of jail.
I'm wondering what Kirk Cousins is going to look like tonight. He's missed practice time for the birth of his child. He was FaceTiming into meetings through the cell phone of Colt McCoy so that he could see what Matt Kavanaugh and Jay Gruden were talking about. That is not the ideal way to prepare for an NFL game.
No.
By the way, I'll never fail to be taken aback by people's stupidity. I saw Chris Lingbach, Blue Shorts, on 106.7 The Fan's website, thefandc.com, posted a story about Cousins missing a practice for his baby and basically that the baby was coming or what have you. And there were so many comments from people that were upset that he was not at practice and he was with his wife, Julie, for the birth of their baby, Cooper Cousins. And they were legitimately angry about it. They were saying things like, you need to figure out what your priorities are. It would look like an SNL skit, all the comments on Facebook. I couldn't believe it.
I could probably figure out what the priority is, be the birth of your first child.
Right.
I did it. There you go.
Now,
I figured it out.
Call me crazy and antiquated. I think that if she was having the baby on a Sunday, when you only get 16 games and you make $24 million, you got to go play in the game on a Sunday, and then you get to the baby as soon as you can, and Dan Snyder gives you a helicopter to get there or whatever afterwards. But we're talking about a practice in the middle of the week. This is not a conversation that needs to be had. But he was FaceTiming into meetings, and he wasn't on the field for practices at times. So I'm curious to see what he'll look like tonight against a Chiefs defense that has not been dominant, but that is opportunistic.
They have played some pretty good teams. I mean, Kansas City played New England. They're going to score on everybody this year. We saw that. They're going to be in shootouts. So
yep.
That's kind of skewed some of those stats. Justin Houston, grown man. I know no Eric Berry. That's obviously going to change things. But Houston, that defensive line is really good. Their inside linebackers are pretty good. And at corner, Marcus Peters is maybe one of the best players that nobody talks about in this league. This is a tough task. They're favored by 7 for a reason. It's not just some weird accident that it's like, what a strange betting line. Everyone's kind of like, yeah, they should be at least a touchdown favorite, if not more.
NFC East yesterday, Eagles beat the Chargers. Close game, but they were better than L.A. Also, the Chargers cannot fill up a stadium that has 25,000 seats. And that's with half of the people there being Eagles fans. This is a major problem for the NFL.
Yeah.
I don't know how this is going to end, but as of right now, the projection is it's not going to go well for the Chargers. That is a tiny soccer stadium that has empty seats and nothing but green in it yesterday, and the Chargers fell to 0-4. In the division, the Redskins did get some help. The Giants lost to the Bucs. Jameis Winston, in a 3-touchdown, no-interception performance, leads Tampa Bay on a drive to set up a game-winning field goal from Nick Folk, who missed 2 field goals and an extra point in the contest. Cameron Brate is an animal, one of the best tight ends in football. I'll never know how that guy wasn't drafted. He's special. He's the best player on that offense that Jameis Winston counts on the most right now. And they got Mike Evans, who's been fine. DeSean Jackson is not quite in sync yet with Winston. But Cameron Brate is the go-to guy that makes that passing game work. They beat the Giants. And how about Sean McVay's L.A. Rams?
I cannot believe that outcome, especially because Dallas was rolling early. It looked like they were just going to keep imposing their will,
yeah.
Win a shootout where the Rams move the ball, and that's cute, but this was going to be a 35-25 kind of game where, you know, the Cowboys just had more, and the Rams just kept coming and coming and coming. I thought every time they settled for a field goal, okay, here comes Dallas. The defense all of a sudden stiffened in the second half, whether it was an adjustment or whatever. Bottom line is this. You went into Dallas and won. Pretty damned impressive, I will say that. The number one offense in the sport is the Rams.
Sean McVay, boys and girls, he is legit. Jared Goff looks good. He wasn't great yesterday, but he was very solid, and Todd Gurley is a weapon again. 121 rushing yards, 95 receiving yards, another touchdown for Gurley, who's creeping up on a couple records for early season touchdown totals. Caught a 53-yard score, ripped off a 17-yard run. They got Tavon Austin involved with 50 rushing yards as well out of the backfield. Cooper Kupp caught a touchdown pass, went for 60 yards through the air. Sean McVay has the Rams 3-1. They beat the Cowboys. So the Redskins saw the East go 1-2. They win today. They are tied at 3-1 for the division lead. Philly, obviously, for the moment as the tiebreaker with a week one win over Washington. But the Giants are 0-4. Danny, we both love the Giants coming into the year. I picked them to make the playoffs as a wild card. You picked them to win the division.
I thought they'd win the division.
They are done. You cannot go 0-4 and make the playoffs. I believe the only team that has ever done that is the 1992 Chargers I read yesterday. So they're cooked. They may get to 8-8 if they go on a late season Giants run. You basically now have to worry about Dallas and Philadelphia. That's where we're at in the NFC East. Tonight is major for the Washington Redskins. And real quick, let's squeeze in the Nationals in the first segment because their season ended. Jason Wirth may have played his final regular season game at Nats Park last night. Did you see the video?
I did. Really good job, Nats.
That was awesome.
Cool thing. It's one of those weird deals because he wasn't drafted here. It wasn't like a lifelong National. But basically, he is their shepherd to relevance.
Correct.
The first signing that was major, the first free agent that came kind of his own volition. It's talked about at the press conference. They're changing the culture, said a bunch of winning is on the way here. And you look back at that, at the time, you forgot how laughable some of that stuff sounded.
Right.
Where, please take us seriously. No, seriously, please take us seriously. And since then, he's ushered in a lot of changes. Listen, whether he bristles and likes us or doesn't like us, I don't care about that. A lot of major contributions, both on and off the field. Just, it changed the way they did nutrition, the way they traveled, the way they deal with kind of preparation and everything else. A major cultural influence. So that was awesome. Kudos to the Nats for doing that.
Yeah, good for J-Dub to get a couple of huge ovations yesterday. Ryan Zimmerman in the final weekend getting a curtain call as well. The Nats are figuratively and literally limping into the postseason now. Max Scherzer left his final tune-up start after 54 pitches with what we now know is a hamstring ding. Oof. That he says isn't serious, but he also wouldn't commit to being ready for Game 1 Friday night.
There's a lot of talk all of a sudden where that's in doubt. Nobody's committing to anything.
Well, everyone's saying they could start Strasburg Game 1 and Scherzer Game 2. If Scherzer's not healthy enough on Friday night, I don't know why Saturday, late afternoon, early evening, suddenly he'll be mysteriously better. It's less than 24 hours later. So he's either ready to start the playoffs or he's not.
Yeah, I hope it's gamesmanship or something.
Me too. I hope they're just trying to be very candid and
be cute.
And not let the Cubs know what's going on. But you've got Scherzer banged up, and you've got Howie Kendrick with a hamstring who's dealing with his own issues, who's an important part of that playoff bench. Here's the schedule, though. Friday night, first pitch, Nats Park, 7:30 p.m. Act accordingly. Be down in this area by 5:30. I don't care if you tailgate, you go to the big stick, do what you got to do. Be in the ballpark by 6:30. Be in your seats by 6:45. Game's at 7:30. And then Saturday, game two at 5:30 D.C. time. So be in your seats by well before 5 o'clock. Our pregame show, by the way, is going to take you up to about an hour before the first pitch right here on 106.7 The Fan. And we will be doing Saturday pregame as well.
Yes.
Anytime the Nats play in the division series, me and Danny are going to be giving you pregame ahead of Charlie and Dave. So it's going to be fun. Let's do this next. 800-636-1067. Some takeaways. We'll bounce around the NFL. What did we learn yesterday? Let's go around the league. Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Folks, Danny Ruya here from my pals at Tedbert Ford. It's time. It's time to turn in that old busted joint. Time to get yourself a great deal on the biggest selection of new Fords from, you guessed it, Tedbert Ford. Fairfax and Chantilly, just a click away at tedbert.com. These guys will make the deals that other dealers can't or won't. This is the place to go to get your car. I got myself two Fords from Tedbert Ford. I got the 2016 Ford Edge, got a 2017 Ford Fusion in each of their respective years, obviously. I filled up my gas tank for the second time this weekend. Second time since I have had that Ford Fusion since May, I filled my gas tank this weekend. That's pretty good value. Speaking of good value, how about 130% Kelley Blue Book value? That's right, 130% Kelley Blue Book value for your trade-in. That's what we like to call in the industry a great deal. Also, you get Tedbert for life when you buy from there. You know what it is, right? New, pre-owned vehicles, anything less than 100,000 miles, you get that Tedbert lifetime vehicle coverage. Powertrain, big stuff, little things. Like they'll do Virginia State inspection for you. Take something else off your plate for your honey-do list over the weekend. Go see my guys at Tedbert Ford and tell them Danny sent you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.